For his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
His covenant
and remember to do his commandments.
The Lord has established his throne in the heavens,
and his kingdom rules over all.
Thank you.
Blessed Lord, since you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday of Apostles' Time is from the book of the prophet Zechariah, the 9th chapter. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that for which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy, and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
By awesome deeds, you answer us with righteousness, O God of our salvation, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas.
You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide their grain, for so you have prepared it.
You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth.
You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with abundance.
The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy.
The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
By awesome deeds, you answer us with righteousness, O God of our salvation, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 8th chapter. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if, by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ,
provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution comes on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and Son, who with the Father and Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Amen. Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text, which I'll reread, is the Old Testament lesson from Isaiah 55. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is our text. Why are we here? Why do we gather together every single Sunday morning? I suppose if a friend asked you that question, you probably would have a ready answer, but sometimes the most difficult answer to give is the one that is succinct and brief, to the point. We are here because of the Word. The Word of God is the reason we gather. We hear three readings from the Word of God, and we have the Word joined with the bread and the wine and Holy Communion. We are here because of the Word. Not simply because of fellowship, not just because we like one another and enjoy one another's company. I hope that's the case. I know sometimes it's not always easy living together, but the thing that binds us, the thing that is the center of our life in the church, is the Word of God. And that's where our reading from Isaiah 55 turns us again today, to God's Word, the true holy thing that makes the holy Christian church, by which the Holy Spirit is at work creating faith. The Word of God is to be seriously heard and contemplated and used. And God gives the promise that where His Word is present, there it is effective and powerful to do the work for which He sends it. We need to remember that the Bible, God's Word, is not just a book of information. There is an awful lot of information in there. You can play a Bible trivia game, and it doesn't take long to be stumped with some obscure question or fact. But it is more than that. It is the power of God, where God Himself is present and active with such force that what God is doing through His Word, in a way, seems to be inevitable and unstoppable, because His Word is true and it does exactly what it says. That's why we hear the Word together here every single Sunday. If we ever were to stop doing that, then you need to speak with the pastor and the elders and ask what's gone wrong. And if it continues, then you go somewhere else where you have the Word of God. But the blessing is that we also have the Scriptures in our own homes. We can read it each and every day. And the power that is ascribed to the Word of God is also true when you read it on your own, in your own home. In fact, God's Word has the power to convince the reader, the hearer, of its authority. It has the power, simply by reading or hearing it, to make Christians. And I know it's true, not just because the Bible says it, but because it's also happened in practice. Some of you sitting in here today have told me, "Pastor, I wasn't really a Christian. We didn't go to church, but for some reason, I was moved to pick up the Bible and read it. And here I am." Because God's Word has that power. It is heavenly and holy And whatever God is able to do, his word is able to do. And so one thing that I hope you can walk away from service today with is a desire to grow in your love for the gift of the word. And then to seek him in his word and receive his good gifts. The two things I want to speak about today are the nature of God's word and the benefit of God's word. And we're going to go back to Isaiah 55 to consider these two things, the nature and the benefit of God's word. First, the nature of God's word. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. When God goes to speak about his word, he begins by speaking about the natural world, things that we can see and are obvious to everyone, and he speaks about the rain and the snow. The rain and the snow that come down from heaven and water the earth so that plants and fruits and vegetables grow and we have seed and we have bread, things to eat. That is the image he gives. And you might say it draws us all the way back to God's word in Genesis chapter 1, when God spoke and everything came into being, and he said that every kind of plant was to yield according to its kind and continue. The word by which God spoke all things into being continues to be effective today and bring forth the things that we enjoy and that feed and nourish our bodies. The rain and the snow are not useless, but they accomplish a great deal. For God spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. And that's why you have food to eat every single day. But God goes on from there. He uses that as an analogy and says, just as the rain and the snow water the earth, so also is his word effective for the purpose for which he sends it. His word accomplishes what God desires that it would do. I recall here the prophet Isaiah, who when God called him, God said to him, I have put my words in your mouth. I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. What did Isaiah give, or what did God give to Jeremiah to do this work? He didn't send Jeremiah with an army. He didn't give him a host of angels. He gave him my word, which will come out of your mouth. The word of God accomplishes what he says. In the parable of the sower from Matthew 13, we see that word at work. And honestly, it doesn't look like it accomplishes a whole lot when you begin the parable. You have this picture of the sower who's just going out and seeming to scatter seed at random, which isn't the way any farmer or gardener would do it. But he's sort of profligate, just throwing seed away. And some of it falls on the path. And the birds come and pluck the seed up. Almost as if the seed just pings right off and has nowhere to land, nowhere to take root. Jesus says that the word of God is the seed. And he's describing here those for whom the word of God is, to whom the word of God is spoken, but it doesn't seem to do anything. Bounces right off. Doesn't even land. The devil, he comes and snatches the word away. He speaks of the word being sown on the rocky or the shallow ground, where it grows up with great joy, but then withers away in the heat of the day. We might think here of the word of God being planted in something deeper than our own emotions or our own feelings. The word of God needs to take deep root in us. How often have we heard of or have we seen people who suddenly have this zest and zeal for God's word and for the Christian faith, and then you talk to them 3 months later, and it's all evaporated and dried up, withered away quickly. And then there's the seed that's sown among the and the weeds grow up among it. And you get this description of the anxieties and worries of this life that can choke out the fruitfulness of the word. I suspect that may be the thing that we who are gathered here struggle with the most. We know the word is a blessing. We desire to be where the word of God is present. And yet there are so many other things in life tugging at us, pulling on us, drawing us away, anxieties and worries that get in the way of our hearing. A good test of how weedy the soil is to ask yourself, what is it that keeps you from receiving the word of God and receiving the Holy Communion every single time it's offered? What prevents you from being present for worship? Whatever it is, you can identify that as the weeds that are choking the word and preventing it from being fruitful. But then this parable of the sower has that beautiful ending to it. While the seed is being sown, and there's the path, and there are the rocks, and there are the weeds, there is the good soil where the seed lands and grows up and then produces a crop, a harvest of 100-fold or 60-fold or 30 times what was sown. And that's where we see this amazing ability and power of the word to produce fruit, to bring forth good in our lives and in our world. The amazing ability of God's word to simply bear fruit where it is sown, sometimes in the most unlikely places. Perhaps you've had that experience as well. Bearing witness to someone that you think is ripe for the word of God, and they just don't ever seem to hear it. And then you make an offhanded comment about your faith to someone who seems about as far away from Christ as they can possibly be, and they're the one who wants to know more. They're the one who's willing to come with you to church. They're the one who says, I don't have a Bible, would you be willing to give me one? And the seed bears fruit. The building up of the church is not done by us. It is not the result of our works, but it is done simply by the word of God, which again, as I said earlier, is the reason that we are gathered here. So what is it that God does by his word? What are the actions or the results of his word taking effect? We often speak of God's word having two ways that it works, or two types of word by which God speaks, God's law and God's gospel. The law of God are those ways in which God speaks about the things that we are to do or not to do. The commands, the promises based on our own works, the threats against what we do. Every time we read the Ten Commandments, we are reading that word of law, and that word is effective. When God says, thou shalt not, it is not necessarily effective in stopping our sinful nature, but it is effective in exposing our sin and bringing it to light. And when you have seen your sin in the light of God's word, when you see what you have thought, said, or done unveiled, you know how it can rip you and tear you apart and bring you to your knees. Repentance. That is God's word at work, exposing our sin that we might be condemned, that our guilt would be shown, that we might despair of ourselves and seek help elsewhere. And that leads us to that word of the gospel, in which God speaks to us not about what we need to do or not to do, but about what God himself has done for us in his Son, Jesus Christ. It is the word, the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. The good news of Jesus Christ. that points us away from ourselves and to his own suffering, death, and resurrection. There is our Savior, and there is our salvation. There is the forgiveness that we need. And God's word produces faith alongside that repentance, to believe that Jesus is indeed the Savior of the world. And this is the result that we see of God's word, exposing sin and revealing his Son, Jesus Christ. And it is effective in doing that work. The law of God, the book of Hebrews says, is sharper than any two-edged sword, cutting and dividing to the marrow. A sword that wounds and a sword that does the work needed to bring healing. As we turn again to consider the nature of God's word, we also have a warning from God that we ought never to mock his word or to take it lightly, and that we ought to fear a drought of God's word. Yesterday, my son David was speaking to me, and he said, "Dad, I hear that there's a drought. Does that mean we're going to die?" And I said, "No, the drought in New England is not that bad. But a drought of God's word would be. To have his word taken from us would result in nothing less than spiritual death." And we ought to be attentive as well, not to allow ourselves to be where God's word is present, but then to have our ears closed or our minds distracted. Do not let the devil come and snatch the word away from you. And do not allow yourself to listen carelessly to it, or to allow the anxieties and worries of the day to choke out what God is giving you. These are the dangers we face again and again. Ears closed, neglect of the word, doubt and anxiety that chokes it out. But God has promised that his word will do its work, that it will bear a harvest of righteousness, that the church as a church of the word will be a place where God is bringing to repentance and creating faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, who is the word made flesh, who was planted in the rockiest of soil in a new-hewn tomb, where it looked like only death would be the result. But on the third day, the word was made alive again, and he rose from the dead, that he might be active and present wherever his word is spoken, wherever his sacraments are given, that he might be the life that is in the word, making us alive as well. We have the benefit of God's word spoken of also here in Isaiah 55. God says, "You shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. You shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace." These are words spoken for a time of captivity, when God's people in the kingdom of Judah had been taken away from their homeland, led into the kingdom of Babylon, and they were sitting in captivity and oppression. And God said to them that by his word he would do a work where they would be led back, where they would have joy and gladness again, where being captives would not be the end of their story, but deliverance would be God's great and precious gift. And the prophet Isaiah describes this deliverance in terms that remind us again of the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. The wilderness and the dry land will be glad. The desert will blossom. There will be a new and restored creation. The thorn and the thistle, part of the curse that God gave, will be gone. But there will be a fruitfulness, a land that is transformed. We will have access again to the tree of life. This is the benefit that God promises through his word, that it is bringing about a new creation. We could say that it begins first with us, but it will blossom forth into a new creation in the end, a new heavens and a new earth, where the Word of God will be powerful and effective in every way. St. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself will be set free from the bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. The entire creation in bondage, awaiting its redemption, subjected to futility, but having a hope which is already seen at work in us. For we, by God's word, by his precious forgiveness in Christ, has made us his own dear children. We in Christ are new creations, and we are being renewed in that hope through the very word of God again and again. The benefit of the word of God is the joy that comes as we hear his promises, as we receive his gifts now, and as we look ahead to the hope that is ours in Christ in that new creation. Wherever the word goes, something happens. God sends his word out recklessly, it seems, but he has supreme confidence that his word will accomplish the purpose for which he sends it. It is sown with intent. The intent to go into that hard and rough and thorny soil. The intent that his word would go into every highway and byway of your heart and grow a surprise harvest in us that will bring blessing and eternal life through Christ. We are to hear the word with ears open, to read the word with understanding, to mark the word with intention, and to inwardly digest it by chewing upon it again and again and again. And this is why it is so important to us that God's word be taught in its truth and purity, and the sacraments be administered according to the word of God. Because there we know that God has given the promise, life, salvation, growth, and an abundant harvest. These parables of Jesus and this word of God call for patience on the part of the church. God does not guarantee that we will always see the result or the outcome, but he promises that we are to simply speak the word. And so as a church, this is what we do. We preach the word. We baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We call people to repentance. And even if few seem to hear it, even if most of it pings off hardened hearts, even if some of it gets a shallow or superficial hearing, even if some gets choked out by the riches and cares of the world and hearts grow cold and people fall away, though we may get discouraged, God promises that his word will be effective. Let us not stop trusting his word. Let us not seek to do it in our own way. Let us not try to water down the word, make it more pleasing or more relevant or more entertaining in a worldly way. But instead, let us pray. Pray that God would do his effective work through his word. Pray that the kingdom would come and the Holy Spirit would create faith. Pray that God's word would stir up trouble in the best sense of the word, afflicting sinners of their sins, so that we might have a godly grief that leads to repentance, so that the plow of the law might go straight through our hearts and the hearts of others, and prepare the ground for the word of the gospel, the word who is Jesus. He never returns empty. He accomplishes the purpose for which he is sent. We see that in his own ministry, and we see it still in our own lives today. You who were dead in sins have been made alive again through Christ Jesus. You no longer live to yourself, but Christ lives in you. The soil that we are, combined with the seed of God's word, which is powerful and effective, is able and will produce a 30, 60, and 100-fold blessing. We wait for it now. We look for it on the day of his resurrection, on the day of his return. You can count on that promise. And so for you today, here is God's encouragement and invitation. Seek him in his word. Receive his good gifts. Believe what he says. Let the word loose in your life. And God will accomplish exactly what he promises, exactly what his purpose is, putting sin to death and planting Christ in us over and over again. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and will call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Amen. Almighty and eternal God, worthy to be held in reverence by all people everywhere, we give you humble and sincere thanks for the innumerable blessings that you have bestowed on us without any merit or worthiness on our part. We praise you especially for preserving for us your saving word and the holy sacraments. Grant and preserve to your holy church throughout the world purity of doctrine, and provide faithful pastors to preach your word with power. Help all who hear the word rightly to understand and truly to believe it. Be with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in our upcoming convention, that all things might be handled according to your word, and that our common work might serve to build up our congregations and make known your Son, Jesus Christ, here and around the world. Lord, in your mercy. Send laborers into your harvest and open the door of faith to those who do not know you. In mercy, bring to repentance the enemies of your church and grant them amendment of life. Protect and defend your church in all tribulation and danger, and grant your help to all who suffer persecution in the name of Jesus, including Christians in North Korea, Somalia, Yemen, Sudan, Eritrea, Syria, Nigeria, Pakistan, Libya, and Iran. Strengthen us and all fellow Christians to set our hope fully on the grace revealed in Christ, and help us to fight the good fight of faith, that in the end we may receive the salvation of our souls. Lord, in your mercy, bestow your grace on all nations of the earth. Bless especially our country, its inhabitants, and all who are in authority. Let your glory dwell in our land, that mercy and truth righteousness and peace may abound in all places. We commend to you the care of our schools, so that our children may grow in useful knowledge and Christian virtue, and thus bring forth wholesome fruits of life. Watch over and uphold all expectant mothers and their unborn children, including Carrie, Jamie Gale, and Jalen, and give them great joy at the time of birth. And grant your blessing to all who travel, keeping them safe and being with them in their time away. We ask especially for safety for Dana and Jared, for Dave and Janet, and for Bob and Lori. Lord, in your mercy, graciously defend us from all calamity by fire and water, from war and pestilence, from scarcity and famine, and from every other evil. Protect and prosper all who labor in their rightful callings, and let all useful arts flourish among us. Lord, in your mercy. Be the God and Father of the lonely and the forsaken, the helper of the sick and needy, the comforter of the distressed and those who sorrow. Grant comfort to the family and friends of Karen, Sandy's friend, as they mourn her death. Have compassion upon those who have been hospitalized or ill, especially Karen and Andrea. Look with mercy upon all who have asked for our prayers, especially Bob, Rosemarie, Katie, Joyce, Joe, Pat, Catherine, Rick, and George. Lord, in your mercy. Accept, we implore you, our bodies and souls, our minds and hearts, our talents and powers, together with the offerings we bring before you as our humble service. Lord, in your mercy. Grant your Holy Spirit to those who come to the Lord's table this day, that they may receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ in sincere repentance and firm faith, and to their abundant blessing. Lord, in your mercy. As we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you have given us to do while it is day, before the night comes when no one can work. And when our last hour comes, support us by your power and receive us into your heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. For you have mightily governed and protected your holy church, in which the blessed apostles and evangelists proclaimed your divine and saving gospel. Therefore, with patriarchs and prophets, apostles and evangelists, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 65, a psalm of thanks, starting at the first verse. "By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness, O God, for our salvation and the hope of all ends of earth and of the farthest seas. Praises due to you, O God, in Zion, and you shall vow be performed. O you hears prayer, to you shall all flesh come. When iniquities prevail against me, you atone for our transgressions. Blessed is the one you choose and bring near to dwell in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house and the holiness of your temple. Awesome deeds, you answer us with righteousness. O God, our salvation, the hope of all the ends of the earth, of the farthest seas. The one who brought us strength to establish the mountains, be girded with might. Who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of the waves, the tumult of the people, so that all who dwell to the ends of the earth are in awe of your signs. You make the going out in the morning and the evening shout for joy. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness, O God, of our salvation, and hope all the ends of the earth and the farthest seas.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.